You know, whenever I kept hearing the word Emmanuel in a lot of different radio shows, and it just was really striking my heart about what does it mean that God is with us? What does it mean that God is with us? Emmanuel means with, El means God. So God is with us. What does that mean? What does it mean to each one of us? And I was just, it just was hitting my heart, you know, in this season, we're so frazzled and busy, and we're just going in a million directions, and there's so many things that are occurring in our lives, and not just at this season, but I know in my life, I'm just always so busy, running here and there and thinking about so many things. And I started to think, what does it mean that God is with me? You know, whenever I'm with my husband, I can be with him, but I can be on my phone checking out Facebook, or I can be thinking about work and thinking about all these things that I have in my life. And I'm not with him. I'm technically with him, but I'm not with him. There's a difference between being with someone and being with them. And whenever we share things and we talk and we spend time together that's very intimate and we talk about the things that happened in the day, he's always saying, "How was your day today, Kimmy?" And then I say, "And how was your day?" And we share and we listen and we talk and we talk about the things that occurred in our day. That is when I'm with him. And you know, whenever they said that the virgin would conceive, there in Isaiah 7:14, it said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And that means God is with us. So God with us. You know, we sang today about how he left his heavenly kingdom. And if you think about everything that he left, he was the creator of all things, living in a kingdom realm unlike we have ever seen nor could even imagine, to come and to be with us because he desired to be with us. God says, "You know, Jesus, I need you to go and tell them how much I love them and show them how much I love them and to show them that I want to be with them." So his name shall be Emmanuel. God shall be with them, with me, with you. God is with us. And what does that mean at Christmas? One of the greatest gifts of all was when Jesus came to be with us. Not just to visit, not just to check it out and say, "Oh yeah, I guess they have it pretty rough down there." But to truly experience joy, sadness, sorrow, trouble, rebellion, betrayal, all of the human things that we experience, he wanted to know, what does that feel like to be human? So that he could be even more compassionate than he was in the beginning. So that he could have a better understanding. So what does that mean? You know, many nights, I can't sleep. Anyone else? My brain does not shut off at night. I can fall asleep like that because I'm exhausted, but I don't stay asleep. And in the middle of the night, I wake up, and what happens? You start to think of everything that's going on in your life. And so many times, then you get worried because now I'm not sleeping. How am I going to function during the day? Because now I'm going to be tired. And then you start to stress about not sleeping, in addition to the things you're stressing about while you're not sleeping. Or maybe you're not stressed at all. Maybe your mind's just kicking in and just thinking about a bunch of things it shouldn't be thinking about. And then you get worried, and then you stay awake. So I've been trying to do something differently in that, and it has been working for me. Works better than sleeping pills. Is to just dwell on the word. And the one psalm that I think about, that's always basically read at funerals, but just to think about this, Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now that is a big statement right there. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is not just a psalm that was written just because it's a pretty little psalm, but it has so much meaning to it. And to tell you the truth, sometimes when I'm reciting this in the middle of the night when I can't sleep, I don't get past the water part. Because he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So what is it, Kim, that you're so stressed out about? I shall not want. It says he makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, the shepherd used to every day walk ahead of the sheep. Come on, Kim. Come on, John. Come on, Michelle. Come on, Joyce. Come on, Rob. Come on. The shepherd walks before us, and he says, I'm going to make you lay down in green pastures. You see, I want you to hear my voice. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know how much I care. And what was the green pasture? It was where they had all of their needs met. And I'm going to stand and I'm going to watch over you. And then when you're dry and you're thirsty, I'm going to lead you beside the still water. Where do I go on vacation to get a break? To the water. I go to the beach. Why do I go to the beach? To sit by the water where it's still. This time we went on vacation where the water was so still on the ocean we could float. My favorite thing to do is float because I don't have to think about anything. I can just relax and just float. So the Lord says, I will bring you. I'm going to make you lie down. And I'm going to lead you to the green pastures. And I'm going to lead you to the still waters because I want you to take a break. I want you to rest. And so many times I don't get past that point in the scripture and I'm resting. When you apply the word and know he is with you, you can have peace and you can rest. When you truly know that the shepherd has your best interest at heart because he came to be with you. He didn't just come to visit. He came to be with you. So, he restoreth my soul. And he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I don't know about you, but there's many times where my soul needs to be restored. Because I am thinking on the wrong things. And I'm not spending time thinking on the things that I need to be thinking about. But when I decide to go into his presence, whether it be with worship or prayer or reading the word, he restores my soul. Where does the soul lie? Within your mind. He restores my soul. He restores you. And when you get dry, he can restore you back. And he will lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So many times we're walking down a path and we don't know which way to go. So we veer off a different path. What does the shepherd do when the sheep veer off the path where he cannot see them and he cannot protect them? He will go out and find you. But how many times do we even want to be found? How many times we don't even think about the shepherd in our day's time? We're just going down our own path. And the shepherd's like, oh, no, don't go that way. But if we're not really realizing that he's with us and wants to be in every aspect of our lives, we sometimes go down paths we should not go down. And we will engage in things we should not engage in because we are not following or thinking about God being with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, they used to walk the sheep down through a valley that was called the shadow of death because there were enemies all around. And there were things that could hurt the sheep. And he's like, I will protect you from those things that tried to hurt you. I am your protector. I will be the one that if you do get injured, if you do get hurt, I will be the one that will anoint your head with oil. Whenever there was an injury, they used to anoint with oil for healing. I will anoint you. That psalm carries so much meaning of knowing that God is with us and cares about every little aspect of our life if we will allow him to be with us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does it mean to dwell? I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Not only is he with us here, but he said, I will dwell with you. I desire to dwell with you and in you. The Father desires to be with us. He desires you by name. He wants you to know that in all circumstances, he is with you. When we have sick relatives and we have people we care about that are sick, he says, I am with you. I am with them. If we are suffering ourselves, the Lord says, I am with you. You do not have to go through anything by yourself. When Jesus came, he brought the Holy Spirit to be the teacher and to be the guide. And when we sing a song, Holy Spirit, come, we want to be in your presence. Do we not want to be in his presence? Is there any other place as glorious as when we feel the peace of God? There is nowhere else that I experience that is when I'm in the presence of the Lord. So many times when you wake up in the morning and you turn on the news, it's just noise. It's just bad things happening constantly. They just bombard our lives with negativity versus just waking up and just focusing on the Lord and putting on the worship music and sometimes drowning out the noise of the world that tries to just snuff out the presence of God. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. You are welcome in my heart. I want to be with you, not just visiting, but I truly want to be with you. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17, in the New Living Translation, it says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So, you know, we say the sinner's prayer and we go, Jesus, please come into my heart. And Jesus says, okay, I'll come in. And then we forget he lives there. It's like, okay, I'm here. But it says, if you will allow the roots to go deep and trust in him, you will have love and you will be strong. But if you just do the little sinner's prayer and invite him in and forget he lives in your house, if John just lived in my house and I never spoke to him or had any relationship with him, he'd probably move out. But God will not move out. Jesus will not move out. The Holy Spirit will not move out. But how many times he's probably walking around your house going, hello? Do you know I live here? Hello? Hello, I have something to say. Oh, don't go down that way. No, 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 don't do that. No, don't think like that. No, that's going to get you in trouble. Or, no, if you go this way, it'll be better. Because he dwells within you. Just grab a hold of God is within you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. This is, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? God's spirit is within you. The same spirit that rose him from the dead lies within you, so that when you pass over, you will rise too. The same spirit, the same power, the same relationship that Jesus had with his Father, we can have also if we desire to do so. Someone's not happy. Isaiah 14:10 says, so do not fear. Do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. When I looked up the Greek or the Hebrew word for dismayed, it meant don't look about for help. Don't look at or about for help. It says don't be looking around for help. For I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. But how many times when things come into our lives, we pick up the phone, we start talking about it, we start calling people, we start looking for answers, all in the wrong places, looking for love in all the wrong places. He says, you're looking here, you're looking there, but you're not looking. I am with you. Hello, I'm here. I am with you. Emmanuel has come to be with you. So where are we going for help? The scripture says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that he's dwelling with me, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, not just when I die, now, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in the temple. For the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. You know, whenever Christmas time always reminds me of my daughter's birthday because she was born at Christmas. And whenever I was reading about shouts of joy, when I was pregnant with Alyssa, I had a lot of complications and was bedfast and was in the hospital at 7 months in active labor thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to deliver her early. And I began to put on the worship music because I thought I can't think of the negative. I've got to ask the Lord to be with me. So I would focus on the Lord, and there was a picture of a stream by the quiet water in my room. But I remember reaching out my hand saying, I'm going to touch the hem of the garment and I will be well. And I thought if the nurse comes in, sees me with my arm up, she's going to wonder what in the world's going on. But I said, wait, why do I even care what the nurse is thinking? I'm going to reach out. And you know, the Lord spoke to me and said that I was going to have a daughter and that she was going to be okay. Because you see, whenever we focus on the Lord, he will talk to us, especially in the midst of trouble. But it's just taking that time to be quiet, to just be, to listen, to listen to music, to focus on him, to apply the scripture to the circumstance. And the next morning, the doctor came all dressed in his garb, and they're wheeling me out to the delivery room. And I said to the doctor, I'm starving. I haven't eaten for days because I've been in labor. I can't deliver this baby if I don't eat. And the nurse said, well, Dr. Bisacco, we can't feed her. She's in active labor. He goes, you heard her. She said she can't eat. She can't deliver that baby. She doesn't eat. And they said, but that's not hospital policy. He said, I'm the doctor. She's going to eat. What do you want? So I told him. So they brought me a meal, a big meal. I said, I want eggs and bacon, and I want hot chocolate, and I want toast. He said, okay. They said, doctor, he said, you heard her. She said she can't. You've been starving her for days because she's in labor. So I ate all that food, and the labor stopped. And he said, well, this is interesting. So it got to be about lunchtime, and the contractions started again. He goes, what do you want to eat? And I told him I wanted lunch. So they brought me lunch, and labor stopped again. So it was, you know, the Lord spoke to me saying it was going to be okay. And he gave me her name. He said her name's going to be Elizabeth Rochelle, which means little lamb, and Jehovah's oath. His promise to me was that that little lamb was going to be okay. Something that a mama needed in the midst of worrying, because they were giving me steroids to speed up development and all this stuff. So then when she was born, she had the umbilical cord wrapped around her neck two times and tied in a knot, which could have killed her. And from being in the birth canal so long, her head had fused shut, so she didn't have a soft spot. So then it's like, okay, now we have this to worry about, because the doctor throws on. Well, meanwhile, her daddy went in with kidney stones that night. He delivered kidney stone. I delivered baby the same time. So it was quite an adventurous birth. My mom wrecked into a funeral parlor that same night. So she has to be the one driving me to the hospital, and she can't. So you have to talk to God in those times, because there is no other way you're going to survive that. And then, because I had been out of work for several months, our finances were trashed, and we had a cellar house, moved to Old Bedford Village, and live at the village. And he took a new job. We didn't have much money, and I said, wow. And our car broke down and left him stranded the night before she was born. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And you know what? We survived it. And had I not heard his voice, had I not known where my strength comes from, had I not known who I could trust, and when her head was fused shut and they said she'd probably be a person that would have an intellectual disability because they'd have to saw her head open to let her brain expand. And I'm like, no, I can't accept this. Now she's a physician assistant, was a straight A student all through school. You cannot listen to the lie. Though my enemies surround me and I walk through the valley, I will not be afraid. I will not fear any evil, because the Lord is with me. So during those times, you have to trust. Life isn't easy. Most often, it's not easy. But if you know, and Jesus knew it wasn't going to be easy, so he had to let us know at his birth, I'll be with you. Emmanuel. I will be with you. I will walk with you through those storms. I will be the one that provides for you. During those times, that's when we saw people helping us out financially and, you know, being blessed. And we moved into a house at Old Bedford Village that Josh said, Mommy, we can't live here. It tastes funny. Because they had cats that lived in that house, and it was so strong of a smell. He said, we can't move here. It tastes funny, because you could taste the smell. So there I am, leaving my house to go. But we had a shelter. We fixed it up the best we could. Now it's condemned and torn down. We just watched the wall pull away from the wall from the floor because it was sinking while we lived there. But it was a great place. Learned a lot there, but really learned how to trust to hear the voice of the Lord during those times. So, Emmanuel, God is with us. You know, Jesus said to them in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the end of the age, to the end of the age. In Revelation 21:3, it says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. The dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. Emmanuel. God is with us in the midst of it all. So perhaps this Christmas season is not easy for you, has not been easy for you, because there's been a lot of turmoil, a lot of things that have happened. I would just like us to listen to a song, and we're just going to just turn the lights down and have the altar open, and perhaps this Christmas, in the midst of all of this turmoil, or maybe you're not having turmoil, but yet you feel as though you have not had a deep experience with the Father for a while, and you're longing for that. If you're not longing for that, perhaps you need to long for that, to let him visit with you in your house, within the temple where he dwells, within you. And you know, at Christmas, we get so caught up in the giving of gifts, but sometimes we don't visit with the one that made Christmas possible. For us to think on him, to spend time, there's nothing greater than just laying down or kneeling and being quiet and allowing the presence of the Lord to fill you up anew and afresh. And I guarantee you spend that time, even if it's a few minutes, this Christmas season will mean something totally different for you than it may when you came into this place this morning. I don't believe that God gave me this word just because it's a good word at Christmas, but because he's lonely and he's desiring for you to be in his presence, for you to seek him out, for you to talk to him, to be with him. So let's just take a little bit of time at the end of this, and let's see about spending time with him, because he came to be with us. Amen.